Support for On Point and the following message come from Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Home plays a big role in your life. That's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. It lets you apply simply and understand the entire mortgage process fully, so you can be confident that you're getting the right mortgage for you. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/onpoint.
From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Asbrook, and this is On Point. Bill O'Reilly's $32 million settlement, the Harvey Weinstein scandal that grows larger each day. How do sexual harassment and sexual assault continue for so long? Secrecy. Many point to the non-disclosure agreements used in settlements, agreements that require silence and often allow bad behavior to continue. Arbitration agreements that mean silence before a job even begins. This hour on Point, sexual harassment and buying silence. You can join us on air or online, where this conversation is always on. Have you signed a non-disclosure agreement? Have you, as part of a sexual harassment settlement? Why? And is it time to do away with those NDAs? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. The Gusher has just kept coming. On the Harvey Weinstein front yesterday, here was Mimi Haley. She was a production assistant for the Weinstein Company, talked at a press conference in New York yesterday, saying that Weinstein sexually assaulted her.
I told him no, 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 but he insisted. And then I said, I'm on my period. There is no way this is going to happen. Please stop. He wouldn't take no for an answer, and backed me into a room which was not lit, but looked like a kid's bedroom with kids' drawings on the walls. He held me down on the bed. I tried to get away, or tried to get him off of me, and kept asking him to stop, but it was impossible.
It makes your hair stand on end. Bill O'Reilly, a $32 million settlement. That was never supposed to become public, but it did. Now everybody knows about it. And O'Reilly, very unhappy about it. He talked with New York Times reporters. Audio of that interview was released this week. He said that the allegations against him, which he settled over, $32 million in this case, were false, that he only settled them because of his children.
We have physical proof that this is... Okay? So, it's on you if you want to destroy my children further, right? Because it's all crap. Why don't you be human beings once? This is horrible. It's horrible what I went through. Horrible what my family went through. This is crap. And you know it. It's politically and financially motivated. And we can prove it with shocking information.
Okay, maybe crap, but he paid $32 million to keep it quiet. Here was Megyn Kelly. She was with Fox for a long time. This was her on her NBC show on Monday calling for change.
This must stop. The abuse of women, the shaming of them, the threatening, the retaliation, the silencing of them after the fact. It has to stop.
Former Fox News anchor Gretchen Carlson joins us in a minute. She's been down this road and is now speaking up courageously about it. Joining me for, in just a moment, we'll have Gretchen Carlson. Joining me first today from New York is Shannon Bond, media correspondent for the Financial Times. Shannon, welcome to On Point.
Hi, Tom.
You have at least some now breaking non-disclosure agreements, one from Harvey Weinstein's past to say, look, here's what happened. I signed the agreement, but I'm speaking up anyway. Most women don't do that, Shannon, once they've signed on the dotted line.
That's right. I mean, that's sort of the whole point. You sign these agreements you receive some payment for them. And in the case of Zelda Perkins, you just referred to, she was Harvey Weinstein's assistant at Miramax in the 90s. And she had been alleged harassment over several years. And then a colleague of hers had alleged sexual assault against Harvey Weinstein. And the two of them went together to tell a law firm their story. And they ended up receiving a payment, but hadn't been able to talk about it for basically the last 20 years.
I mean, you can see why in some of these cases with Liz Wiehl at Fox, who went after Bill O'Reilly after she said he went after her and came out with a $32 million settlement. That's a pretty big incentive. Here's $32 million if you just sign and say you won't talk about it.
Well, of course, right. I mean, the money is a big part of this. Although, you know, I will note that the women that we've talked to in a lot of these cases, you know, they say, I didn't do this because of the money. But at the end of the day, I mean, what Zelda told us is that when she went in to report this to a lawyer to talk about what had happened, they said, yes, this is sexual harassment. And then they said to her, the best thing you can do is sign a damages agreement, because if you try to pursue this, he will come after you. He will come after your family. Your career will be over. Your credibility will be ruined. And so I think for a lot of women, you know, in these sort of cases, this is so much about power and an imbalance of power, and they feel that they don't have really any other choice. And if they want to have any sort of ability to move forward, you know, they end up signing these agreements, but then they can't talk about it. And of course, the public doesn't know about patterns of harassment, especially as we've seen in the case of Harvey Weinstein.
I mean, they can't talk about it anywhere. It's not just in public. They can't talk with fellow employees about it without being at risk of suit.
That's right, right. I mean, they're essentially limited. Sometimes these agreements have provisions that their family members are limited. Essentially, they can, you know, they can talk about it to their lawyer, and that's about it. They can also talk about it if they're subpoenaed in a court case, or if they want to report to a government agency. But again, we see very few women actually doing this.
And so we have had, though it's breaking now, we have had a lot of silence around this, and in that silence, it's more and more obvious in the public arena now what's going on. Shannon Bond with the Financial Times. Please stand by there in New York. Also with us from New York now, and we're very glad to have her, is Gretchen Carlson, former Fox News anchor. In 2016, she settled a sexual harassment suit against Fox News founder Roger Ailes for $20 million. Ailes was eventually fired, the guy at the very top. She is out now with a new book taking on sexual harassment. It is Be Fierce, Stop Harassment, and Take Your Power Back. Gretchen Carlson, welcome to On Point. Thank you very much for being here.
Tom, thanks for having me.
Did you sign a non-disclosure agreement? Are you even free to say whether you did or not?
Oh, yeah, I can say that I signed a settlement agreement. This is the way in which society has chosen to resolve sexual harassment cases, though. And in both situations, women are silenced, whether it's in a settlement agreement or if it's in a forced arbitration clause situation within your employment contract, which people don't even know they have in their contracts, but basically it takes away your Seventh Amendment right to a jury process. So in either case, you go to a secret chamber where nobody ever knows what happened to you, unless, of course, you have a brilliant legal strategy that I had in which they were allowed to or figured out a way to make my case public. So people can go and they can Google my claim and they can see all about what happened. And that was, you know, that was the way this whole story got out and got the whole ball rolling. But for me, I had one of two choices.
Yep.
Secrecy from a settlement or secrecy in an arbitration clause. And this is what is outrageous. These are the choices given to women who face this within the workplace.
Describe the arbitration path and why you were put in that situation. What had you signed, I guess, Gretchen, that many others have no doubt signed that left you with secrecy option one or secrecy option two?
So this is a way in which companies have probably figured out that they can shut up victims in a variety of ways. It's not just sexual harassment. I mean, this is a way in which companies can pretty much never air their dirty laundry. So it's, from their point of view, it's a brilliant strategy because it's like, wow, you know, the harasser can stay on the job and keep making us money, and the women can be fired and never heard from ever again. I mean, that's the way this is playing out. And what is it doing for our culture? It's fooling us. It's fooling us in 2017 that we've actually come so far. And why do we feel that way? Because we're not hearing about these cases. But the reason we're not hearing about these cases is because they're being forced into secrecy. And now that's changing, Tom. I mean, since my case broke 15 months ago, look at how far we've come. I mean, I actually see this as an incredible positive time. We're still talking about this 3 weeks after the Harvey Weinstein story broke. You talked about the other situations going on at my former employer. We have another Hollywood director who's had, I don't know, more than 40 people now come forward.
Yep.
We had the Amazon Studios executives. You know, basically, in my mind right now, the shame is being transferred to the harasser instead of to the victim, and our society is finally waking up to what has been an epidemic within this country.
But Gretchen, it seems as though it could have gone the other way. I mean, it broke with Harvey Weinstein again. We thought it seemed like it was breaking with Bill O'Reilly, but it wasn't until very recently, just over the weekend, many months after he paid out a $32 million settlement. I mean, heaven knows what must have gone on for him to pay $32 million to keep it quiet, but we didn't know about that for months, and it could have gone on that we never knew about it, Gretchen.
Right. But I think two very important things. The media is really onto this story right now. And we need them. We need them to keep it going. Because what I found out after my story broke and thousands of women started reaching out to me who had similar stories from every walk of life and every profession was that they felt their voice had never been heard. And so finally, we have the media interested in this. Second point, social media. Social media has helped this cause greatly with the hashtag MeToo and other people coming on board feeling the bravery to be able to tell their stories. And that's why I believe that this is a tipping point. This is why I wrote the book, Be Fierce, because I want people to feel brave and courageous to do what I did. It's not just about me or any other woman who's going through it right now. It's also about our kids. Do we want this for the next generation? I mean, I thought we had gotten rid of this problem, quite honestly.
Yeah. Shannon Bond, Gretchen Carlson is writing about it. I mean, she's been through it. She says media and social media right now are changing the chemistry here. But there's a lot of NDAs that are still in effect out there, Shannon, as we speak today. I mean, there's still a lock on a lot of these stories.
Right. And I think actually a big part of this, too, I mean, as Gretchen mentioned, you know, employment contracts now often carry these sort of provisions, these kind of confidentiality clauses. So it's not just an issue that the women who have experienced direct harassment themselves can't speak about it. People in the workplace can't speak about it. So, you know, we've seen the employees of the Weinstein Company, you know, have publicly said they want to be released from nondisclosure agreements in their contracts so they can talk about what the environment was like. Because, again, as Gretchen has said, if you think this is just happening to you and you don't know that it's that other people have gone through this as well, you know, you're less likely to speak out. You're not going to take that risk. If people would really be able to see, I think, the scope of what's happening, it might encourage more people to speak and companies to be forced to change their policies.
I mean, I'm looking here at headlines talking about lawmakers going after nondisclosure agreements, but there's a lot of legal history here and it's hard to see those just coming apart very quickly. Shannon Bond with the Financial Times, please stand by there. Gretchen Carlson, former Fox News anchor, with us also from New York, author of Be Fierce, Stop Harassment and Take Your Power Back. This is On Point. We'll be right back.
Support for On Point and the following message come from Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Chances are you're confident when it comes to your work, your hobbies, and your life. Rocket Mortgage gives you that same level of confidence when it comes to buying a home or refinancing your existing home loan. Rocket Mortgage is simple, allowing you to fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/onpoint. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org, number 3030.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. And we're talking this hour about Bill O'Reilly, Harvey Weinstein, and the role of the non-disclosure agreement or arbitration agreements in the culture of sexual harassment. Asking, is it time to stop buying silence? Stop making that possible. Gretchen Carlson is with us, former Fox News anchor, author of the new book, Be Fierce, Stop Harassment and Take Your Power Back. She's been down this road, and she's writing and talking a lot about it right now. Shannon Bond is with us, media correspondent for the Financial Times, where one of Harvey Weinstein's victims broke with her NDA and has been talking in the last week. You can join us as well. Do we need to take NDAs off the table? Would that help keep some of this ugly stuff from happening? What about the agreements signed before we even start a job? Arbitration agreements. Do you know what you've signed? Have you ever signed an NDA as part of a sexual harassment settlement? What happened? Why did you do it? More revelations, it seems like, every day. This was just yesterday. Again, Mimi Hale, production assistant for Harvey Weinstein, at a press conference in New York yesterday, saying, describing how she felt after she alleges, was sexually assaulted by Harvey Weinstein.
I would not have wanted anyone to do that to me, even if the person had been a romantic partner. I remember Harvey afterwards rolling over onto his back saying, "Don't you feel we're so much closer to each other now?" To which I replied, "No."
No. There on the Harvey Weinstein front, on the Bill O'Reilly front, I mean, he's sort of speaking out as a victim here on a radio. His radio show on Monday said he was mad at God because of the trouble he's now going through.
Am I mad at God? Yeah, I'm mad at him. I wish I had more protection. I wish this stuff didn't happen. I can't explain it to you. Yeah, I'm mad at him.
Yeah, existential. Megyn Kelly, who was at Fox when Gretchen Carlson, our guest, was there on her NBC show Monday, said that she had talked up about Bill O'Reilly during her time at Fox.
Fox News was not exactly a friendly environment for harassment victims who wanted to report, in my experience. However, O'Reilly's suggestion that no one ever complained about his behavior is false. I know because I complained.
And not just, of course, at Fox. I mean, Hollywood, too. Here was actress Julianna Moore on The View this week talking about non-disclosure agreements.
I don't understand how it's possible, how it's legal to have a non-disclosure agreement when there's been sexual abuse. I mean, why is that legal?
That's a great question.
That's a great question. Gretchen Carlson, Megyn Kelly says Fox News was not exactly a hospitable environment for talking about sexual harassment. What can you say about that? Now, are you prescribed from talking about that because of your settlement?
Well, what I can say is that, you know, human resources departments may not be the best place for any woman or man who's going through something like this to go to. Because you have to always remember who is signing your paycheck. And there could be a severe conflict of interest, especially if the harasser is at the top of the company.
Yeah.
So what I propose in my book, Be Fierce, is to have an independent contractor, somebody that makes women feel comfortable to come forward, and somebody who doesn't have a vested interest in trying to keep the dirty laundry, you know, under wraps. But I'd also like to mention that I'm doing a tremendous amount of work on Capitol Hill, Tom, because I'm specifically fighting these arbitration clauses. And what I'm asking for in a bipartisan bill is to take away the secrecy in these clauses. Imagine how the power pendulum would change if suddenly the employee wasn't down deep in the dungeon and the perpetrator wasn't on top knowing that there's total secrecy. And suddenly women within the corporation know when somebody else filed a claim, number one. And number two, the story gets out so that maybe the harasser actually stops the harassment. I am incredibly optimistic that I'm going to get a bipartisan effort on this. And then the bill, if it passes, will land in the lap of President Donald Trump.
That's a very particular lap in this regard.
That would be very interesting.
I take it then, Gretchen Carlson, that your employment contract had this some kind of arbitration clause in it that said what?
Well, arbitration clauses in general say that you're giving up your Seventh Amendment right to an open jury process if you find yourself in a dispute at work. And people don't know that. You know, it's a dark day when you have a dispute at work and you find out that you're not going to be able to go before a jury of your peers and that you're going to a secret chamber. Many times the employer picks the arbitrator. Only 20% of the time does the employee win. You can't have the same witnesses. You don't have the same depositions. And here's the kicker. There is no appeal. And so most cases, the women never work at that place again, obviously.
Yeah.
They're terminated.
Yeah.
And the harassers get to stay on the job.
Well, I guess...
I mean, it's outrageous.
Yeah. And it's kind of a direct pipeline from the arbitration agreement to the NDA because you can't go to court, so, and they're not going to make settle with you unless you agree in a further NDA not to talk about it, I guess.
Exactly. So this is the way in which we have chosen, well, I guess big business has chosen to resolve these issues. And this is how you get the Harvey Weinstein 30 years of horrifying behavior.
Yep.
And it's not just about one individual, Tom. This is so important.
Yep.
It's enablers, it's lawyers within, it's assistants, it's cover-up artists, and it's shut up the victimers. That is how that kind of depravity has been able to succeed for that long. And finally, we are waking up as a nation, and we're deciding that we're going to be fierce about this, and we're going to speak up.
We're glad, Gretchen Carlson, that you can speak about it in this way. I mean, here's a little bit of Juliette Huddy, former Fox News host, also settled a sexual harassment claim against Bill O'Reilly. She talked with Megyn Kelly, your former colleague at Fox, on Monday about non-disclosure agreements. Juliette Huddy.
I think people have regrets. I think people have regrets when they sign non-disclosure agreements. I would imagine that they do. I think it's something that you grapple with when you're going through it, and then you think it's the best move to make, but it's not necessarily the best move.
And you can hear her voice breaking a little bit right there. If they didn't have these agreements, what would happen? Here she was again, Juliette, talking with Megyn Kelly.
If settlement agreements didn't happen, if there weren't non-disclosures, more women would feel like, okay, I could potentially fight this if they know that there are other women who have gone through the same thing.
It's hard to hear, but it's very real. Gretchen Carlson, Shannon Bond, please stand by in New York. Sabrina is calling from Burlington, Vermont. Sabrina, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you, Tom, for taking my call. Mm-hmm. My point is, you know, I from my earliest memories of molestation, and was never, ever protected by anyone around me, was always vilified by it, and it caused me to be extra careful in every aspect of my life. Mm. And I now work for myself because I absolutely refuse to sign one of those agreements. I could be in a situation where I was making a lot of money, had a lot of success, had a lot of people under me, but I won't go into a corporation where I need to sign one of those agreements. It's egregious.
But isn't it crazy that you have to make that choice, Sabrina, or you might have to make that choice to go in? I mean, it's like sign or don't come in.
Well, that's exactly right, and I refuse to sign. And even though I'm highly qualified for the job, and, you know, and I've said, listen, you know, I'll sign, you know, I'd love to work here, and, you know, I agree to everything except for this one clause, and I never hear back from them.
Gretchen, you know? What if somebody shows up at the almost employed table and says, hey, this is a great contract, I love it, the money's fine, everything's good, but vacation day is good, but I won't sign the arbitration clause. What happens, Gretchen?
Well, I applaud Sabrina for doing that. The fact of the matter is, for 98% of the general public, they don't have that option. They need the job. And I'll tell you what happens. They just move on to the next candidate. And that's what needs to change. It's why I'm working so hard on Capitol Hill. I also have had a lot of women come up to me since I've been on my book tour as well and say, you know, we're forming groups within our companies mm-hmm. to actually go and have meetings with HR to say, we want these clauses taken out. You know, I think that there's this groundswell approach right now where companies are feeling like they're on the back of their heels to a certain extent. And the more we keep talking about this, the more pressure there's going to be to, number one, release women from the NDAs that they have already signed, which is something that I have been calling for. And number two, take them out of any future employment contracts. Now, that would be a huge victory. But it's why I'm working so hard on Capitol Hill, because I believe in this mission to stop this once and for all.
Gretchen Carlson, Shannon Bond, please stand by. Anne Marie is calling from Portland, Maine. Anne Marie, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
So equally disturbing to me was hearing at the beginning of your show how attorneys are treating the victims of the abuse, specifically the encouragement to settle, take money, don't risk your reputation, don't risk your family, don't risk anything else bad happening to you, take the money and keep quiet. So the lawyers and attorneys being complicit in continuing the silence and considering how much money are the attorneys making themselves when they bring somebody in for a settlement like that. It's completely disturbing to me.
I mean, I guess, Shannon Bond, surely if it's a $32 million settlement that Bill O'Reilly reached with his former colleague Liz Wheel there, I mean, we know broadly how attorneys work. That's probably a whole lot of money for some attorney. Is the legal profession somehow, a complicit here in going for the NDA because there's usually a big dollar figure attached to it?
I mean, I don't know. I don't know specifically in these cases how much the attorneys would have gotten paid. You know, some of the employment attorneys that I have spoken to who've dealt with these cases, who've worked with victims of sexual harassment, you know, have told me, you know, the reason often that they do end up sort of supporting their clients in signing these things is you know, a sense from they say to them, you know, do you want to go public with this? Do you want to, if you're going to pursue this, sort of what are the risks there? And what are you willing to kind of give up in terms of your privacy and pursuing a case in public? And I think just, you know, in a lot of cases, sort of what's right for the individual woman ends up not being maybe what's beneficial for society as a whole, unfortunately.
Gretchen, what have you seen about attorneys' incentives here?
Well, I can tell you, attorneys get a third usually of any settlement.
In your case, a third of $20 million. In Liz's case, a third of $32 million. That's a lot of money.
Yeah, well, that's pretty standard in any kind of a legal case like that. Here's what I would say, though. It's not so easy as just saying, oh, let's have you just go in front of a jury, you know, and take your chances. Listen, people like me and thousands of others out there, they don't have that option, as I've just been describing. You're going to be forced into arbitration in a secret chamber. You don't have the option to go in front of a jury. That's the point I'm trying to make here.
Yeah.
So when people say, well, why didn't you just go through the jury process? Secondarily, there's no guarantee you're going to win in front of a jury.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the process can take years. So meantime, you're fired. You don't have a job.
Yeah.
Now you're trying to come up with legal bills to go through maybe a 3 to 4 year process. And so instead, they put a settlement in front of you where you can move on with your life. And you have at least something to go on. In many cases, these women, in fact, Tom, never go back to their career. So if somebody wants to talk about how much a settlement is, these women never go back to their chosen career. That is not the American dream. And by the way, it's not just as easy as our own president has suggested, that you should just find a new career.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, no kidding.
Can we tell that to men?
Yeah, no. No, we don't. The thing is, Gretchen, if the NDA, you didn't have a choice here. Not everybody signed an arbitration clause, though many have these days, but not everybody. But if the NDA wasn't out there, what would the company's incentive be to settle? If they're going to, you know, why would they give a big settlement if then the victim is going to turn around and make the whole thing public anyway?
That's such a fantastic question. And thank you for bringing that up, because that is exactly where the blame should be. Instead of asking why are victims signing settlement agreements, the question should be what you just said. You see, so the company's going to get something out of this, right?
Yeah.
They're going to get something out of
their reputation
paying you money,
intact.
And that's right. That's silence. That's why I'm saying that the current system is wrong. It shouldn't be set up this way. It should be public. It should be, there should be a better way of being able to resolve this. And first and foremost, taking arbitration clauses out of employment contracts. So at least women would have a choice. You'd have a choice. Okay, do I want to go and be public in front of a jury? Or do I want to go to arbitration and choose for it to be secret? Shouldn't we put the power back into the hands of the women to make that decision? Instead, right now, we're being gagged and handcuffed.
Boy, Andrew in New Orleans, you're on with Gretchen Carlson and Shannon Bond. Hi, Andrew.
Hi, Tom. My question was pretty directly answered already just a moment ago. It was going to be why more individuals don't really try and challenge these situations instead of taking the settlements, regardless of how large they are. I have no real knowledge of the legal system, and these stories are incredibly disheartening. What other options are there? If there are any, it sounds like it's a complete lose-lose situation. I mean, except for getting paid out and hoping that that's some form of admission of guilt.
Yeah,
right.
Even if it's a private admission. I mean, Shannon, is the world this sewn up? Is at Harvey Weinstein's company, Miramax, or the Weinstein company? Was everybody there under arbitration agreement? Did everybody have NDAs signed and locked away?
I mean, our understanding is that at least some of the employees at the Weinstein Company, including who are still there, do have confidentiality agreements that they've signed. You know, I think, I mean, to a degree, answer Andrew's question, I mean, look at who the women who have accused Harvey Weinstein are. In a lot of cases, yes, they are now famous actresses, but many of them, talk about this happening. I mean, Gwyneth Paltrow being an example, early on in their career.
Mm-hmm.
Many of them aren't famous actresses. Many of them are employees of the company. And so again, right, to Gretchen's point, even if you are able to pursue, even if you aren't bound by some sort of arbitration agreement and you're able to pursue a public case, your resources are really limited compared to the power of not just a wealthy individual, but a wealthy corporation and their law team.
Gretchen, we just got you for another minute. What's the legislation that you're pushing that people should keep an eye on if they want to take an interest in this?
So I'm meeting privately with Republicans. I already have Democrats on my side. But I am going back on November 7th to D.C. This has become a mission for me. And so I am pretty confident I'm going to get a Republican. It has to be co-sponsored. It has to be bipartisan, or it's not going to go anywhere in Congress. And at this point, here's what I would say to any politician. Sexual harassment is apolitical. We've seen it come from both sides, victims and harassers. This is something America should care about. And wouldn't it be great, since nothing gets done on Capitol Hill, if I could get this through for women?
Gretchen Carlson, former Fox News anchor. Her book is Be Fierce, Stop Harassment and Take Your Power Back. Gretchen, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you so much, Tom.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about non-disclosure agreement, arbitration clauses. The people are signing some before they even start employment. NDAs, non-disclosure agreements, often signed in settlements of sexual harassment cases. This is, was the case in Bill O'Reilly's case, $32 million signed early this year. In just one case, I think a half dozen or so that he's had over time. Harvey Weinstein, lots of NDAs out there, some of those breaking in recent days. We're looking about the buying of silence on this front and what it has meant. Shannon Bond is with us, media correspondent for the Financial Times. On Monday, Bill O'Reilly talked with Glenn Beck, said that the recent report on his $32 million settlement was part of a big smear campaign against him.
The end game is let's link O'Reilly with Harvey Weinstein. Let's make him that. That's what we want to do. All right, and so we take him out of the marketplace forever. He never gets to give his opinion on issues again. We take him out because we hate him.
I don't know about that. I mean, we're hearing him right there, and this was hard. Link him to Weinstein. The O'Reilly settlements were in the news way before Harvey Weinstein's big explosion of news. But here we are. Listeners, you can join us this hour. Are we having trouble getting clarity about what's gone on, what's going on? Because people, women, are signing non-disclosure agreements about their harassment. Do we need to take the NDA off the table? Would that help keep some of this very ugly stuff from happening in the first place? Harvey Weinstein, on that front, as Shannon Bond was saying, he's got a group of staffers there who are asking to be retroactively released from non-disclosure agreements. A bunch of them sent a statement to the New Yorker magazine. Let me read from it to you. They said, "We all knew that we were working for a man with an infamous temper." These are Weinstein employees under NDA writing this. "We did not know we were working for a serial sexual predator. We knew that our boss could be manipulative. We did not know that he used his power to systematically assault and silence women. We had an idea," they write, "that he was a womanizer who had extramarital affairs. We did not know he was a violent aggressor and alleged rapist." They want to be able to tell their full story. They have not been able to under non-disclosure agreement. Pam in Amesbury, Massachusetts. Pam, you're on. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Tom. This happened to me in the 1960s. There were no non-disclosure agreements. You didn't even get to that point.
Okay.
These men are sexually violent criminals. And the old boy network protected them then, and there still is a new boy network that's protecting these people. In my day, if you did go for any kind of a agreement or bring any charges, you'd never work again, never mind in your own career.
Yeah.
This has got to stop, but only men can stop this. Good men can stop this. This is a criminally violent act.
Do you get the feeling, Pam, that the culture is changing on this right now, or is that too, does it sound naive to you?
I don't. There's a righteous indignation that other men know who these guys are. You know them in the locker room when you're playing football. There's guys that are just out of control. And until men stand up and say no, it's never going to change, because there's always a component, because the dirty little secret is women don't believe other women. Or at least that was the case in my day. If you were attractive, you were getting promoted, then somehow you were complicit in this.
Yeah, lousy deal. Pam, I appreciate your call. Shannon, Pam doesn't buy that it's changing. You're watching what's going on, especially in the media world. I mean, with one case after another coming out, or one perpetrator after another being uncovered here, do you think this changes with or without change in the NDA system?
I mean, I think we've seen that there's a ball rolling now, right? And and I think companies in particular right now are vulnerable. They are feeling that they do need to address issues when they come out publicly. You know, one of the cases we mentioned earlier in the show was Amazon Studios chief Roy Price,
who resigned.
Yeah. Right. But, you know, he resigned after a woman publicly accused him of lewd remarks.
Mm-hmm.
But that case dates back to 2015, and Amazon was told about it in 2015. He didn't resign until this month when it became public. So it does feel like there is something different happening with women speaking out. But at the same time, you know, I'm not sure that it's also fair for the burden to be on these women, that they have to be the one that everyone has to go public, right? I mean, people need to be able to make that decision. I mean, on the one hand, you don't want them to be silenced, and on the other hand, you know, people need to make their own decisions about what they want to talk about and what they want to reveal about their own lives.
We're going to talk in just a moment with an attorney who's been right in the middle of all this. First, Joel in Charlotte, North Carolina. Joel, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
So I know we're talking about these high-profile cases, Ailes and Weinstein and
yep.
O'Reilly,
yep.
because they're rich and famous. But for an average working woman, you know, right into the workforce maybe, or maybe has had the same job for a while, making $32,000 a year, mm-hmm. she'd have to work for 1,000 years to make $32 million.
yeah.
Can you bring this back to the neighborhood for me? What happens when this goes down every day at my local department store, at the local restaurant? Mm-hmm. What are the settlements like? What recourse do these regular working women have? I appreciate that the celebrity and richness of,
yep.
you know, these particular victims causes the conversation, which is good in of itself. But
mm-hmm.
what happens in the real world when this happens? Are lawyers willing to work for a third of some tiny number, or what happens?
Joel, let us go right there. And I'm glad you raised it, and you sort of line up with where we're headed here. At the same time, let me bring in an attorney who works in this field. Kathleen Paradis is with us. She's a lawyer, partner at Outen & Golden, practices employment law, chairs the sexual harassment practice group there, joins us from New York. Kathleen Paradis, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Are there two different worlds to our caller from Charlotte's question, Joel's question? Is there a celebrity world when it comes to settlements? And then, you know, at the local department store?
Well, the numbers are certainly different depending upon the nature of the employee and the nature of the employer. But I wanted to say something that steps back from focusing on Band-Aids, important Band-Aids, the arbitration clauses, the non-disclosure agreements. There's a problem with the workplace that engenders all of this abuse. And the problem with the workplace is that there's a power imbalance, that there are a lot of powerful men and a lot of unpowerful women. Sometimes it's fueled by alcohol. But the talking about small fixes is extremely important. But the big problem is in the workplace. The flood that we're hearing now of women who are coming forward, I think, has to do with changes in a positive direction in the workplace. I have written about Gretchen. I have spoken to Shannon. Mm-hmm. These are lots of women who are getting a voice and getting their power, and that's making a difference. But I think we need to focus on what your last caller was referring to. There is a problem with power imbalance, abuse, and bad behavior by powerful men, generally men. Sometimes women do it, but I see it far more often with men in the workplace. And I'd like to say a couple of things about arbitration clauses and NDAs
yes,
if you want to go there. Let me say something about arbitration. I agree with everything Gretchen and Shannon said, and that's the side of the employment issue that I deal with. I represent only plaintiffs, and I do a lot of sexual harassment work. But arbitration clauses don't mean generally in and of themselves that you can't speak out. It means you can't file a lawsuit.
Mm-hmm.
If you have an arbitration clause, you can still have a press conference, but if you do, you've probably reduce the value of your claim.
But if you can't file a lawsuit, Kathleen, then what's your leverage over the company other than promising them your silence? And that's where we end up in the cone of silence.
You're absolutely right that it's a matter of leverage. It's a matter of value. The company does want to buy silence. But I want to make sure that we include in this mix that one of the things women make a claim for is to be compensated for their damage. And the amount of money that you get for settling your claim or even trying it and winning is related to the amount of damage that you suffered. It could be back pay. It could be emotional injury. It's usually both. So the claim that you're getting money for is to compensate you for your damage. And also, it has become absolutely routine that you sign a confidentiality agreement. Now, I want to just pick up on something a couple of people have said, and I think Shannon said it too.
Mm-hmm.
Some women really don't want to go public, and women should have the right to make that decision. In my practice, I tell clients and potential clients right away if we make a deal, you're going to have to agree to confidentiality. Now, at the end of the line, you'll see what the deal is that you can either accept or not. And in every case, the woman accepts it in a confidential settlement, or else we start a lawsuit, and sometimes that's how it ends. But if you're offered a year of pay or 5 years of pay, and
is that typical in an ordinary case? I mean, when you're not Liz Wheel and get $32 million, if you're at the local telephone company or I don't know what.
Well, I think the measure is the measure often begins with what your salary is. So obviously, if you're making a lot of money, the factor, a significant factor, not the only factor, which takes off from what you make, it's going to be different if you make $32,000 or if you make $10 million.
Why should that be? Is it really different?
Well,
you know, it's sexual assault, and the value of it depends on the woman's salary. I mean, is it any different if you've been raped, if you make a $10 an hour or $10 million a year?
The difference is there's generally more than a claim is usually more than one thing that happened. It's sometimes that you've been fired and therefore your pay is a very relevant measure. Okay. It's sometimes that you want to leave the job and you're going to be out of work for a certain period of time. So it's not that the sexual abuse is worth more for one woman for another. It's not. And the level of damage that you've suffered, the level of emotional injury that you've suffered doesn't flow from what you make. But what you make can have a big impact on what pay you're losing now and in the future. So I'm not saying that it's the only factor, but it's definitely an important factor. So women may choose to take the money and be silent. And individual lawyers like me, if I say to a client, and I've actually had this conversation with Shannon, if I say to Shannon, if Shannon's had a problem, and I say, Shannon, you can have $1 million and you have to be quiet, or you can walk away from the money and you can speak about it. What do you want to do? Many women say they want to take the money, they want to be quiet, and sometimes they regret it later, but generally they don't regret it. However, let me make very clear that I think nondisclosure and confidentiality is a disaster for the workplace because it keeps the imbalance. The culture of silence is bad for a lot of public policy reasons, but every individual person, if she decides whether she wants the money and she'll be quiet, usually one by one, women decide that's what they want to do.
I mean, when you put it that way, I mean, you're in the business, Kathleen, and I don't doubt that
yes.
you represent them well, but it's very easy to see how the secrecy goes on, the silence goes on, because what do you want, $1 million or you know, 10 minutes in front of a microphone and cameras where this guy's exposed? You know, let me get a call. Kelly in Chicago.
Could I add
yes?
one more thing to, before we proceed?
Yeah.
The problem is nondisclosure agreements. The problem is arbitration agreements. But the bigger problem is retaliation. Whether you've got an arbitration agreement or a nondisclosure agreement, the big risk that women run is if they speak up, they're going to risk retaliation in this workplace or future workplaces. And that gets back to the power imbalance that I mentioned a few minutes ago.
Kelly in Chicago. Thank you for calling, Kelly. You're on the air.
Thank you, Tom. I just wanted to share that I'm an HR professional and I've been in my career field for 20 years. And at two different occasions, I've had to quit my job or was actually told, you know, you can't work here anymore after I had supported women in exactly this situation.
Wow.
So,
and what do you think of the NDA that keeps it quiet, Kelly?
Oh, it's all strategic. That's exactly why it's in place.
You mean strategic? You mean the men know it's there. They know that, you know, there's a money settlement, but it won't come out. What's happened?
Absolutely. I've sat in rooms, these quiet places where they're making these deals, and I've had men laugh and say, have you ever been harassed? Have you ever been harassed? They think it's unsettling, and one of the worst parts of that arrangement, the nondisclosure, is, I think, the worst part of it.
Kelly, I appreciate your call. I mean, Kathleen, What's the way out of this? You say fix the power imbalance in corporations, but come on, you can't ask women to wait for that. I mean, amen. But that could take forever, and you got this happening.
Absolutely.
It's happened every day of the year.
No, I think NDAs and arbitration agreements are definitely part of the problem. I think the women fearing retaliation and maybe never coming forward is a part of the problem. I think we need aggressive enforcement. I think getting rid of confidentiality agreements is extremely important. I think forced arbitration, getting rid of that, is extremely important. But those are the big problem is the long-term problem. The big problem is always the long-term problem. It takes a lot of patience and fierceness to fix the long-term problem. And we have to fix the short-term problems in order to get to the long-term solution.
Kathleen Paradas, she's a partner at Outen and Golden in New York in the sexual harassment practice group there. Kathleen Paradas, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Shannon Bond, here we are. You know, I'm sure there are women all over the country listening, thinking about friends, family, themselves, their bosses, wondering where to go with this. A little more sunlight means, I think, more freedom to talk about it and maybe more caution on the part of potential abusers.
Yeah, and we're seeing, you know, in addition to the federal legislation that Gretchen was talking about, you know, we've seen states are trying to make some moves on this too. So here in New York, there's legislation that's been proposed that would make void any provisions that would conceal harassment claims. So, you know, there may be some progress here.
Shannon Bond, media correspondent with the Financial Times. You're terrific, Shannon. Thank you very much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
Listeners, you can continue this conversation and get the On Point podcast at our website, onpointradio.org. Get that podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We're there for you all the time. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. On Point is produced by Brian Amaral, Brian Harzinski, Eileen Imada, Stefano Katsonis, Sarah Platt, Allison Poley, Tanya Rally, and James Ross. With help from Gretchen Voss, Anna Bauman, and Whitney Leonard, our executive producer is Karen Schiffman. I'm Tom Ashbrook. Thanks for joining us today. This is On Point.